policy based on conjecture.
No,
you
it,
have the
it isn't based on conjecture.
Variants, so you want people to wear a mask for another couple of years.
No,
you've been vaccinated and you parade around in two masks for show.
No,
you can't.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Thursday. Didn't mean for that to stay on the screen. Thursday, March 18th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Quite a momentous day today. We were just fully deleted on YouTube, which is what everybody expected. Just a few things I want to go over today. It might end up going a little, you know, an hour or so, depending on what I want to get into. But the real point was to hop on and make sure everybody out there knows that that just happened for plenty of other reasons. But actually, because I thought I had a workaround to be able to make this through to YouTube on a very odd back, basically using somebody else's channel to push it out there. Doesn't look like they're going to let it happen, which is very, very telling. But the point was to make sure this got out to people to let them know that it happened, because right now is that moment that James Corbett has been talking about, right? Where people will only be watching on YouTube and suddenly they'll just go, where did the last American vagabond go? He must have been on vacation. No, we were just censored entirely because of a Yemen discussion, no less, which is quite interesting. But today we're going to talk about that just really quickly in the beginning to let you know what's happening with YouTube. We're going to talk about a little bit on the AstraZeneca vaccine and how it's developing. And even though they're beginning to use it again, they're stating that we don't know if this is actually, that we can't rule out this danger, but yet then following that up by saying, but we know it's safe and effective, but we don't know what this danger is, but yet we know it's safe, because those two things totally make sense together. And then we're also going to talk about how they're telling you this is never going to end. No matter what anybody's saying, they're telling you repeatedly, this is how your life will be forever. Get used to it. All the mainstream is putting things out left and right about that. And as well as something about the lockdowns at the end, we will be discussing a very important discussion in regard to what's really going on with these lockdowns and how it seems, in based on the data, they are potentially hurting more people than they're actually helping. Oh my God, who could have guessed? But to start off, of course, just a quick discussion about what just happened here. And I want you guys to make sure you see this. As I always point out, this is not about anything other than making sure people are aware of what these people are. This is not me going, oh, no, it's all gone. No, no, I knew this was going to happen. I knew it. And it's actually couldn't be more perfect timing because of what will be out and live by the end of the month, which is where I will be directing most people, which will have live streaming and Patreon stuff that you know, donations and all the whole same kind of thing we're talking about. Keep forgetting to close my Telegram channel. There we go. It's going to be coming at the end of the month and possibly sooner, and you will be seeing it coming, and it will be, you know, hopefully everything that will make all of the rest of them obsolete. That's the whole point. But nonetheless, there's a lot of other platforms that we are on currently right now, streaming on Periscope, Facebook, DLive, VK, one that many in the US aren't very familiar with. And when I will be posting it on BitChute and Odyssey and everything. I don't know why I always seem to forget Rockfin in regard to live streaming. Probably the best place you should be right now to watch this. It's got a chat and everything else and so on. But as my tweet reads, the cowards at YouTube deleted the TLAV backup channel. Just what it must be like to be so terrified of objective discussion while screaming about free speech and facts. Today's video, which is the one that triggered them to delete this, was actually an interview with Vanessa Beely in regard to Yemen. And get this, it wasn't about some abstract thing we were hypothesizing about. This is about an interview that she literally had with the Yemeni ambassador. But fake news, though, right? Team YouTube? I mean, this is pathetic. I mean, the reason is they're... It's not just me. They are desperately afraid of people like me, people like James Corbett, and people like anybody out there who's at least trying to be objective, trying to source their material, and then also trying to show you how they're lying to you. Can't do that. And here's what they're just ultimately saying. We reviewed your content and found several repeated violations. Oh, you mean those ones you failed to notify me of because you weren't actually documenting anything, like emails or all that stuff, you know, the whole process they're supposed to go through. We've been you guys have been following this. I've gotten a couple of emails about age restrictions, randomly enough, but I don't have any emails about deleted this or this is a community guideline strike. We got one way in the beginning and they just stopped. We know this. They're not following their own rules. The point is they just, whatever was in this video today, they said, okay, get this guy out of here. Too much. We can't talk about truth in Yemen. I guess they just didn't work too keen on me pointing out their war crimes, you know? The video is no longer available because the YouTube account associated with the video has been terminated. Terminated. It is gone. Good riddance, to be honest. I mean, it's what I was actually talking about in the beginning was to try to find a way around to get this on YouTube so people know that this happened. But I don't even think I'm going to try to make something else to be able to get future videos on YouTube. This might officially be the time we drop it and go forward, just like I keep telling you. Ride it till the wheels fall off. Well, guys, the wheels fell off. Now it's time to prove to everybody else, including YouTube and the cowards over there, that they do not have they haven't cornered the market on streaming and how this will go. Very important to understand. This is going to continue, regardless of whether YouTube will fight for you or fight for the oligarchy, and it's pretty clear what side they've chosen. Now, it's also interesting to recognize 20,000 subscribers on a channel that started with, 8 in a very short period of time, as well as the fact that we, 8,000, 9,000, 9, 10, 8. This is a channel with less than 10,000 subscribers when it started, and we're getting 14, 20,000 views on some videos. This is why they're trying to get us out of here, because it's reaching people, regardless of what they actually, how much they're trying to censor. But here's the video itself, just so you can see it. Actually, this might be done possibly by now. Nice. On BitChute, they're getting much better on their processing time. But again, Vanessa Bealey interview. Inside the West, illegal Yemen occupation and CIA caught rescuing Al-Qaeda. Now, this is an important discussion. And this was, let me actually just grab this really quickly. Seeing as how I just said, I actually think this might even be the reason why this was taken down. And this is a leaked discussion with a CIA official and a Yemeni official. And they are stating, let me just grab it really quickly here, that he's asking Yemen or the official to release a leader of Al-Qaeda. I'll include this for you because they're probably not happy about this being out there anyway. But this was the main point. But here we're talking with Vanessa Bealey, who just had an interview with a Yemeni ambassador, and we're discussing what he told her about what's going on the ground. But yeah, can't have that kind of reporting. We can only be told what our intelligence officials tell the media to tell you as fact. That's real journalism, guys. Make sure you repeat that over and over because that's what they want you to think. No, real journalism is what I was going to say. I don't know why I always say Whitney Webb when I'm thinking of what Whitney Webb does, what Derek Rose does, what Vanessa Bealey does, what Eva Bartlett does. These are real investigative journalists. Right? And this was leaked. And this is what they don't want you to hear.
I believe the FBI people have already arrived in Sana'a. They are now in Yemen. Why don't you recommend them to come and meet me tomorrow along with the U.S. ambassador and present this case during my discussion with them? And we can discuss about it.
This is the CIA officer speaking.
I'm happy to see that, but something is very important. أنا سأقوم بذلك ولكن دعني أقول شيئا آخر. I'm happy to have this, but I don't need anybody else. This is my person. This is my problem. This is my issue.
My person.
And I'm calling you because it's very serious with me personally. This man must be released.
They're speaking about an Al-Qaeda leader.
Is that his name? The PSO director, Major General Ghalib al-Kamish.
There it is.
He knows all about this. Mohammed al-Ra'is. Ambassador, and quite frankly, I'm calling this my responsibility. I've talked to everybody in my government.
Ah.
I told them that I was going to make this call. I want to work with you, but I need this man released in the next 48 hours.
In the next 48 hours. gee, I wonder why they're in such a rush to remove this Al-Qaeda leader. You know, the guys they keep telling us bomb attacked us on 9/11, even though that's completely not the truth. Or at least they weren't the ones leading it. Asking for the release. Right? I mean, just it's just quite incredible that we can have. But this is why we get censored, because the mainstream won't show you stuff like this. They won't let you know that your government is, in fact, working along with the very people that they keep telling you are threatening your lives. In fact, that they've been arming, funding, and controlling them for a very long time. You see, this is the point. And as I said on that interview, this is what terrorism actually looks like. The actual decimation of a place like Yemen, starving people to death so you can control the strait. That's what terrorism looks like. And obviously they weren't too keen on pointing that kind of thing out. But you can watch this stuff for yourself. Actually take the time to watch this interview on Odyssey, on BitChute, on Brighteon, on ThreeSpeak, on Rumble, on any other places where you might be able to see it. Because you can find for yourself that it's very objective and it's actually coming from a perspective of an actual investigative journalist that has sourced and backed up what she's talking about. The facts. God forbid we should be banking on the facts as opposed to conjecture from intelligence officials, right? And I just want to point out as well in a really frustrating way. Oops, the facts. Apologies. This is live on DLive right now. This is the back end, right? So I want you to recognize how they, if I refresh the page, will auto-force my video onto X tag, right? And this is another thing we're talking about. DLive is just as much a part of the problem as anybody else. And that's what's so frustrating, because they're choosing to force my videos onto X tag, which ultimately means you're not allowed to financially support this channel. And it will not show up on any searches and it won't show up on any of the pages. And it's because it's X rated, apparently. Now, they tell you that all news, that's not true. There's plenty of news on the homepage of DLive right now. If it's on the homepage, it's not X-tagged. So the point is, they're choosing to manually, and I showed you the email they sent me, they manually turn mine on X-tag. Now, what's so scary about what I'm doing? Am I not sourcing my material? I'm not cussing? It's a family-friendly show. I make a point to do so. I don't show graphic material. I talk about contentious issues. And if DLive is too afraid for me to be honest about things about U.S. foreign policy, that they're going to force me onto X tag so you can't support my channel, then they are part of the problem. I couldn't even get them to respond to me until about a month ago, and then they lied to me. They said, no, you can go ahead and put it on mature. Then you'll be able to get money. Okay, let's put it on mature. Hit save. Oh, saved. Okay, let's go forward. Let's go back and see. Oops.
On mature, then you'll be.
Oops. There it is on X tag. Now, the only reason I'm showing you guys this, since we're talking about censorship, is that there are plenty of outlets out there trying to make you believe that they're fighting for you. They're not. It's frustrating. But you can support me on a lot of different places, as well as directly donating to my PO box, which is listed under the videos, or you can submit whatever or support me in any way on buymeacoffee.com, which I have the link in the show notes as well. But truly, the only thing I actually care about more than anything is just getting you to share the content and research it for yourself. That's it. Unfortunately, this can't continue without the direct support of people like you, because I do not have advertisers. I do not have corporate interests or anybody else. This is directly funded by you entirely. And if you guys no longer think it's worth it, then this will go away. But I don't think that's the case, because you've shown overwhelmingly that this is an important thing, whether it's done by me or anybody else out there being objective and actually researching things and actually reporting on the actual science, you know, not just repeating what they say the science is. Now, on that note, just as we're hopefully clear on the fact that YouTube is something we should all be leaving, we should all be walking away from YouTube and going somewhere else. Now, I make the same argument of people that are still able to post on YouTube. Continue to do so. Continue to get your content out there for people to see, because they're lost on that platform. But as I've been trying to do myself, start shuttling people over to other places that will not eventually pull the plug on you, right? As creators, we should be. But as individuals with just watching content, there's no reason you should be watching on YouTube. I get it. The chats that works, that you're familiar with it, but that's why this new platform that's coming will hopefully make that go away. But as well as the fact that you realize you're supporting the problem. That is what it comes down to. Not by posting content, but by continuing to use it and going there to find the content. Now, on that note, going forward to the discussion of today, which is, I'll just take a quick look over here and see. Yeah, you know, we've got almost 200 on DLive as well. On that note, also make a point to share the link right now for me. Take a moment, because everybody on YouTube does not notice that this is happening. And that's the problem, is everyone that only relies on YouTube will never know when these things are happening. So make sure you share the link for me and let them know. But on this last note, just to kind of make a point back to the U.S. government in the same way, just in, United States warns entities involved in the Russian-European Nord Stream 2 project, you mean, so their allies, not just Russia, but their allies, warns them to, quote, immediately abandon work. And just based on the comments alone, but why? What's this about? I've never heard of this. What is this? What's going on here? Like the fact that the media has failed utterly to let people understand what an illegal action this is. And as I put out my tweet, literally anybody out there walk me through the legality of what this is? Because they won't be able to. This is a U.S. government strong arming both an ally and an adversary because they don't want this to happen. There's no legality to it. It's because Europe, Germany in particular, was one of the leads on this, wants to be able to make this pipeline with Russia because it is cheaper, it is more efficient, and not, you know, bringing things all the way over from the United States. But you see, the U.S. government doesn't want that. And because Russia, bad guy, they won't allow that. But you know what? It's not their choice. But the problem is, the EU thinks the same thing. So they went forward. You'd think, well, that would be the end of it. The U.S. would be pissed off, but it's going to happen. No, they're actually threatening to sanction their own allies and Russia alike if they go forward with a project that is 100% legitimate and entirely legal. But let's keep pretending like these people are not complete mafioso criminal monsters. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much people don't want to see what this government is. As well as plenty of other governments around the world. And no, that does not mean you, if you're an American, are that. They are not what we are. They're supposed to be servants to the American people, right? We're supposed to be their constituents. They're the embodiment of our collective will, right, guys? Clearly not. Today, they do what they want, pretending they're doing it for us, and only the very small grouping of people that still blindly trust the two-party illusion scream that they're our representatives. The reality is, they're lying to you in every possible way, and they do what they want at your expense. If we could finally wake up and see that left or right, we might actually be able to change something. But I just recently talked about AstraZeneca. Perfectly timed, it would seem. 20 plus countries suspend AstraZeneca vaccine while the EU and the WHO keep pushing it as safe and effective. This was on March 16th. Going forward, and this is on March 16th as well, I just think this is absurd. Here's a member of Finland Parliament. Well, now that AstraZeneca seems to be on the shelf elsewhere in Europe, shouldn't it be worth buying here for us? You know, you mean that, you know, that thing that we're not certain about that people are saying is causing blood clots that they're actually investigating and that's why they all suspended it? But yeah, bring it over here. We'll buy it because vaccine equals happy, right? There's nothing else we could possibly think about. I mean, this is malfeasance. That person should, I mean, this is a person whose job is to act in the interest of these people, and he's literally ignoring their interests, as in their safety, because, well, vaccines are good, right? If I just pretend vaccines are good at all costs, everybody around the world in the elite circles will pat me on the head. Good job. This is ridiculous. You know what's even more ridiculous? That not just are they saying, let's use it anyway because vaccine's positive, they're actually arguing, well, I would actually love to die from AstraZeneca vaccine. Why? Well, because that means I'm doing my duty. Oh, so that both simultaneously implies that possibly dying from the vaccine, you know, the thing that they're acting like isn't happening, would actually be doing a service for your country. Isn't that funny? But it's not happening, though. But if it did, I'd be doing a service for my country. How telling. This one everyday activity can actually be a lot scarier. It says it probably sounds very brutal. But some must be sacrificed. This is not a joke. This is from Sweden, I believe, as translated. Now it says, some will have to be sacrificed in the war against corona. Again, the war, right? Because we're all in a war, right? Biden said we're on war footing. Trump said it's a war on COVID. Yeah, but they're all different though, guys. It's all the war because your body is the battlefield and they have to be on a war footing. Because that's all they know. And in fact, that's the only way this all works. That's the say. This is that. That's the way it is in all wars. Oh, what? Did people have to be sacrificed? That's not how I remember war. But I guess, you know what? That's actually letting it slip that that's how the elitists look at it. You are their pawns and you, of course, have to be sacrificed. Right? You see, that's as usual. They let these truths slip when they're trying to argue about other things. It's not, you don't sacrifice people. No, you strategically I mean, it just, I can't even think of a better word for that. Like, the idea is that people in war fight against each other, and you do your best not to lose people and strategically fight. You don't sacrifice people in order to gain. I mean, this is what we know they do, right? We know that they put people out and allow them to be killed so they can use it for a bigger agenda, or that they throw people aimlessly at the side of a hill, or, you know, I'm trying to think of historical references where people are just being mowed down like nothing, that don't really achieve that much. And this is, that is sacrificing, but that's not what we're told. That's not how we look at it. Anyway, the point is that this is how they think we should be thinking about it today. I would be willing to sacrifice my life for to test a vaccine, but it's not being tested though. That's the way it is in all wars. This time it may be me. In Norway, one health worker died of a cerebral hemorrhage. Three health workers were admitted with a blood clot after receiving the vaccine. We and several European countries have not taken a break from vaccination with AstraZeneca on the basis of these cases. Now, let me say the obvious first. It is terribly sad that health workers have become seriously ill. So you already see the but coming here, right? As if, well, those are just the side effects, so we should just brave them because this is all for our best interest. This is psychopathic. One, we don't even know that this thing is the best for our best interest. The side is still being studied, but the idea that we could just at all costs, everything else is danger. Everything danger we know about this is worth it because vaccine's so good. It is terribly sad that health workers have become seriously ill, although we have stopped clapping for them on our balconies. Oh, gee, I wonder why. Maybe it's because 60% of them didn't want the dangerous vaccine. They just quickly became heroes, and then one day they just weren't. Isn't that funny? I think we all have deep respect for this group of people who are some of the front fighters on the war against corona. That's exactly why they got the vaccine so early, except they didn't. Don't let the facts get in the way of your story, though. And of course, we will do everything we can to find out if there's a connection between the cases, as we ignore that and already start reusing them 4 days later. Right on, because we actually do not know yet. Another slip. They're not supposed to say that. And the point is, they still don't know. And I'll show you that next. They still don't know. They're still possible. We haven't ruled out. And yet they then go, but it's safe and effective. Perhaps these are unfortunate individuals, which Steinar Madsen and Norwegian Medicines Agency opened up to. People get blood clots and die of cerebral hemorrhage every year. Right? You see where it's going. In Norway, there are between 7,000 and 10,000 cases. Right? People do everything. There's cases of everything everywhere around every year. Doesn't mean when they happen instantaneously or within moments after the vaccine that you can go, oh, but that happens every day. That's not how this works. And of course, and we all know the joke that they do not apply it in regard to their own logic. Right. I said it backwards. They have obviously applied this in regard to the death counts in every possible way, but then they don't apply the same logic in regard to this scenario. That's called a double standard. It says we will get the answer soon. The health authorities will also decide whether we should continue the vaccination. But even if it turns out that it is the AstraZeneca vaccine that caused the blood clots of cerebral hemorrhage, I have no doubt if I get the offer, I'll take it anyway. I can't believe this. This is so incredibly disconnected from science or common sense or any of it. This is only rooted in vaccine is the best no matter what, right? Vaccine at all costs. It's the gospel of vaccines. It's because it's the best. We know it is, right? Vaccines save lives. They're safe and effective. They all save lives. Safe and effective, right? How do we have to do it? Right? This is mindless repetition. So if you get an offer for that thing, listen to what she says. Even if it turns out that it's true. Right? So she's saying, even if I know this is killing people with blood clots, I'll get it anyway. Why exactly? Well, because in her rationalizing mind, one, COVID is so dangerous that this is life-saving and it's worth the risk, which is not true based on their own information right now on the CDC website. And two, that the risks outweigh the benefit outweigh the risks, but we don't really know the full benefits, and the risk of the vaccine itself is showing to be wildly high. And then we don't even know the full risk. Do you realize how ignorant this all is? This is the point that I keep saying that they're going, well, we haven't ruled out the risk. So we don't fully know, right? We're still looking into it, but it's safe and effective. So how can it be safe if you don't know the risk? Think about how stupid and counterintuitive that is, but everyone's gobbling it up based on their vaccine gospel. It says, sorry to say it so bluntly, someone has to sacrifice the rest to be safe. So again, the implication is that this vaccine is making you safe no matter what you think about it, and that that risk is just part of that process of making you safe. None of that has even come close to being shown. But that's the way it is in all wars. So just tough it out and risk your life for what they're telling you this needs to, that needs to be done. This is scary. It's now 1 year since the government introduced the most intrusive measures since World War II, and we're still at war. They just can't stop with the war symbolism or analogies against the corona. And our only weapon is vaccines, which is so incredibly not true. Vaccines are simply the way out of trenches. Now we're just crossing metaphors here or analogies, the road to peace. Right? You're talking about war, and then you're talking, I mean, it's, I guess it's the same when you're talking, making that the analogy, but vaccines are the way out of the trenches. That's why these people are so incredibly, they've been convinced that they're at war. And if we're challenging what they're doing, then we're on the other side. So now we need to be taken out. See how that works? But so far we have too few. It's just crazy. But there will be some who get side effects from vaccines, whether it's AstraZeneca or not. That's the way it is with all medicines. No, it's not true. Simply not true, especially not in this amount. This is what they keep trying to say. And by the way, when they say all medicines have side effects, that's not the truth. These are effects. They can call them side effects because they don't want you to look at them as the primary. But if you take a medication and things happen, those are all effects of the medication, both the good and the bad. So not all medicines have bad effects. It's not true. I mean, take something as simple as aspirin, by the way. When's the last time you had aspirin and had some kind of a negative effect? I'm sure things are possible, but they're in almost not. Or take something more natural. Take something like vitamin D or vitamin C, right? They only want you to think about their chemical compounds as medicine, which is just absolutely not even the truth. I don't look at vaccines as medicine at all. They're in fact not. They can change the definition every year all they want. Now, and even more removed are the mRNA injections. But this is simply not true. They only want all the things they're making with Big Pharma with all their crazy side effects that they then prescribe new pills for those side effects, but then give you more side effects, then just give you more pills for those side effects, on and on and on and on. That's why. That's what they want you to think medicine is. You know, going back to the Flexner Report and the American Medical Association and the Carnegies and the Rockefellers, and how they just basically hijacked the entire medical industry and drove it right into the ground of their oil industry. Yesterday, I had a headache and took. Well, I think I'm just going to leave it here because I actually didn't want this to be too long today. But this is sickening to me. Meanwhile, link between cerebral blood clots and AstraZeneca vaccine, not implausible, says German regulator. But yeah, just go ahead and take it anyway, though, even though we're not sure whether or not this is still happening. And even have people that are saying, well, it does seem likely. But the European Union's drug regulator says that it's safe and effective. I'm not kidding. Like, this is happening at the same time. Well, technically, that's the 17th. This is the 18th. But this is happening simultaneously. The EU regulator finds, this is on CNN, the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine is safe. Okay. This is the same sentence, guys. The EU regulator finds the AstraZeneca vaccine is safe. But a link to rare blood clot cases can't be ruled out definitively. Meaning you don't know. So how can it be safe if you don't know whether it causes the thing you just said? This is, I mean, I can't, there's got to be a more powerful word than counterintuitive. This is simply ridiculous. I mean, this is arguing something, you're saying it's safe and then following it up by saying, here are reasons why we don't know if it's safe. It just doesn't make sense. They cannot, this is from a French press agency, cannot rule out definitively a link to these, and they keep saying rare clotting disorder, but if they don't know, if they can't even prove the link, how can they say it's rare? It's happening quite obviously. Here is Alex Bernison pointing out, we're giving up a vaccine we haven't approved and Europe has suspended. So now we're offering it to Canada and Mexico. This isn't even a joke. The U.S. is, we're never going to send AstraZeneca vaccine to Canada and Mexico. And they're going to take it, use it while it's being suspended because of dangers. Apropos of nothing, is Canada embarrassed to be led by a guy who looks like he's trying on a suit for the first time in a decade because he has a DUI court date? If not, why not? Pretty funny. But this is, I just don't understand how this is being allowed. Actually, I forgot I put that in right there. I wanted to play that, but I'll move it down here, maybe towards right here. This is something that was just deleted on Twitter, by the way, even though it's literally reading off of the consent form for the vaccine. That's all. Not saying anything other than literally reading what it says, and it was just deleted as fake news on Twitter. Anybody out there still pretending like people only get censored for fake news are children. And I think you are choosing to ignore how obviously this is because you don't like what they're saying. Because you've chosen a side, which means you have no interest in objective truth. Remember, folks, the vaccines developed for Neil Ferguson's swine flu calamity of 12 years ago had to be stopped due to the injuries caused, more than were actually caused by that flu. And yet here we have JVT comparing all this to headache pills. This is not a joke.
Because vaccines don't save lives if they're in fridges. They only save lives if they're in arms. And that's a really important...
That's, assuming they don't kill you first.
Fact. All medicines have side effects.
Not true.
And all medicines have benefits.
And by the way, side effects are not side effects. They're effects. They all have effects. If they cause it consistently, it's not a side effect. It's an effect. Right? If every time you take this vaccine, it causes your arm to be red and sore, that's an effect. That should be listed as an effect of the vaccine, not a side effect, because it happens to damn near everybody. But they just call it a side effect to get you to stop thinking that it's literally constantly causing things that it shouldn't be causing.
And that's the whole point, that you have to look at both sides and say how...
Only in the age of big pharma, oil-based pharmaceuticals.
Big are the benefits in relation to the risks. So even something really simple like paracetamol, and here's a data sheet from a box of paracetamol.
Isn't that funny? So they're happy to look at the box of that, but they won't look at a box of masks or any of those. Ah, fake news, though.
The rare side effects are allergic reactions such as skin rash, mouth sores, fever, difficulty breathing, more prone to bleeding, bruising, fever, infections, nausea, sudden weight loss of appetite, jaundice, yellowing of the eyes and skin.
My God, for a headache pill? Guys, this is the problem with this entire situation. That's crazy. You can call it rare all you want. Why in the world would you take something that had all those possibilities for a headache? I mean, it's just, this is the problem, is they try to make the effects of these things, the things that these pills absolutely can cause, as side effects. So you just discount them. In reality, they're probably far more prevalent than we can even realize. And that's the point. I keep making this argument about Veyers and how they continue to discount that. It is set up that way. So when people actually report these damages, they discount them as unverified. That's the way this works. There's nowhere else to report these things. And when you do report them there, they dismiss them as unverified. Ask yourself how that's even possible. How can it work that way?
Those are documented rare side effects of paracetamol.
Are they rare? Well, he said so, so I guess we'll just trust him.
But we all understand the benefits of them. And this is no different a situation.
Of course it is. Of course, this is what you're comparing it to something that's been used for an extended period of time, for a long period of time. This is something that's never been done before, that's only still being tested, that's emergency authorized, not even approved, and we're denying everything from left and right that comes out. But sure, it's no different than this thing that we still have not. I mean, these people should lose their jobs for that is what medical misinformation looks like. How can you possibly argue that it's no different when you don't even know what this is? When we're talking about side effects such as blood clots, when they just said, we can't prove it, we can't discount this, we can't say one way or the other, but it's safe and effective, and it's just like these headache pills.
There's no proven association with the blood clots, and we have very clear
evidence. Which, by the way, means... Wait.
Evidence that these vaccines are beneficial.
Okay, so if you haven't proven the link, that means you haven't disproven it either. So you don't know. So how then can you follow that up exactly like he did and say, but it's safe and effective?
That these vaccines are beneficial and save lives from what is otherwise, for some people, particularly the ones we are targeting, a potentially lethal disease.
Yeah, the very, very small percentage of people, potentially, But let's ruin everyone's lives and continue to pump things in people's arms when they're healthy that may kill them, because this thing may have a very, very small chance of doing that to them, even though this seems to have a higher chance, and even though your actual body and your actual immune system seems to have a better chance of fighting it in general. Now, the person in the tweet points out the side effects of the swine flu vaccine. Now, this is what he's trying to say. Excuse me. Again, I say the side. It's just so we just get in these habits of using the same terms. Okay, so they all have their effects, right? And we know that they outweigh them. Okay, so based on that logic, the very same vaccine that they forced on people back when the swine flu, the same government you were just looking at, there's the effects of that, the negative effects, were so bad that children were like schizophrenics. There's so much of this out there, but they'll ignore it and act like it's not there because they're hoping that you don't look at it. And now they're hoping their propaganda has been so successful that if you even see this, you'll be afraid to share it because you know you'll be attacked as an anti-vaxxer, even though this is true. That's how that works. Now, here's another interesting dynamic. Brian Levine, MD. Now, I'm really glad he's pointing this out. But as somebody else said, why is it that Brian Levine, MD, is allowed to make this argument, but other people online, like myself, get censored for doing so? He says, my 99-year-old bound grandmother, 2 weeks shy of her 100th birthday, has tested positive for COVID. She was infected by my fully vaccinated mother, who also tested positive. You can still contract and transmit COVID after vaccination. Be careful. Prayers appreciated. Okay. He is straight up telling you, as a medical doctor, in his personal experience, that he has seen this happen and that it can happen. Now, this is no more, well, we think it could do this and we know it can. You can still spread it. You can still catch it. Just like we've been telling you from the very beginning. By the way, just like I've been telling you since the moment these vaccine trials started, because I read the Forbes article that listed them off from their own documentation, that they never even intended to look into transmission because, as Tal Zaks, I continue to point out, has stated that the government, the U.S. government, didn't pay them enough. All they had to do was spend more money, and they would have found out, but they chose not to. And we're here going, we don't know for sure. Why? Because it won't. They knew that. And they don't want to do the research to find out that it won't. So we know that it won't. And here we are. It won't. So why? How can we talk about herd immunity? How can we talk about literally anything in regard to why this would work or being efficacious if it will still be spread and you can still catch it? It's just dumb. But my point again is Brian Levine, MD, will happily post this and get 31,000 likes, but I can post it and have my entire channel deleted. I just want you to recognize how subjective this all is. But we all know that. I'm just hoping to catch one more person who might have seen it otherwise or might not have seen it otherwise. But here's another interesting discussion. Paul Ehrlich Institute, Federal Institute for Vaccines and Biomedicines. Why was vaccination with COVID-19 vaccine AstraZeneca suspended? Now, this will be a little different than what the mainstream media keeps broadly repeating without any context. A specific form of severe cerebral venous thrombosis. Now, we've talked about thrombocytopenia, right? That's what this is talking about. You shouldn't. I hope the association is not missed on you. This has been a constantly reoccurring, all the way back to that very first doctor we showed you that had this exact thing, that with the platelets and the blood disorder. And they said, no way, that's no way. It's not even connected. That was with a different vaccine, guys. That was with Moderna or Pfizer, I remember. That. And so the point is, this is clearly something, and they don't want you to think about it. It says a specific form of severe cerebral venous thrombosis associated with platelet deficiency, thrombocytopenia, and bleeding has been identified in 7 cases as of March 15th in temporal association with the vaccination of COVID-19 vaccine, AstraZeneca. It is a very serious disease that also difficult to treat. Of the 7 affected, 3 had died. The affected individuals had ages ranging from 20 to 50. Now, this is just, why would this not be reported? Well, because the only reason you even heard about the blood clots is because 20 plus countries suspended it. That is, if you're only watching mainstream media, I mean. But they won't go into the details because they know they'll drop this the moment that they can. Because their interest is not informing you. Their interest is getting you to get the vaccine at all costs. Whether that's because they've been convinced that is the good thing or because they're just doing their job, which is to convince you of very specific things, whether they're true or not. After an overall review and consideration of the above facts, their institute recommends the vaccination with COVID vaccine be suspended in Germany as a precautionary measure, which did happen. But the point is they're already starting to use it again. Make sure I didn't miss anything in here. I had it highlighted, but it refreshed, I guess. 6 of the affected persons had a particular form of cerebral venous thrombosis called sinus vein thrombosis. All six individuals were younger to middle-aged women. Another case with the cerebral hemorrhage and platelet deficiency and thrombosis was medically very comparable. All cases occurred between 4 and 16 days after the vaccination. Well, that falls right into the category for Dr. Fauci, doesn't it? Now he said up to, what, 40 days afterward? Very revealing. And they're already telling you, well, we haven't ruled it out. We can't rule out the link. But it's safe and effective, though. The number of these cases after vaccination with COVID AstraZeneca is statistically significant, which always matters, higher than the number of cerebral venous thrombosis that normally occur in unvaccinated populations. Well, what do you know? It's exactly the argument that they're trying to making in every other case. Well, it's right within line with the natural. Okay, well, this isn't. So we'll just continue to ignore it? Yes, apparently, because that's all they can do when it comes down to anything that suggests this shouldn't be taken. I mean, you realize that even when it was first happening, when multiple countries, as I said in the other show, I don't when it was at seven countries, seven independent regulatory agencies independently reviewing their own information from within their own countries, independently came to the conclusions in seven different countries that this was worrying enough to suspend. And immediately the WHO and the EU and all of them came out and said, no, you should keep taking it. Now, does anybody think that's what a doctor, what a real doctor would do, what an actual scientist would do when we have risks and we have multiple independently confirmed concerns, we should just scream, take it anyway? What is wrong with people? I don't understand how in the world you cannot see why that's alarming and then why it doesn't show you all the way over the top that they don't care whether you're safe or not. It says, for this purpose, an observed versus expected analysis was performed, comparing the number of cases expected without vaccination in a 14-day time window with the number of cases reported after approximately 1.6 million AstraZeneca vaccinations in Germany. About one case would have been expected. One. Seven cases have been reported. Funny how the media is ignoring that, right? Now, if this was the reverse and they had that kind of data to back up safety or to back up something they wanted to show you, well, they wouldn't stop repeating it. To the younger to middle-aged population affected by the severe cerebral venous thrombosis with platelet deficiency is not the population at high risk or for a severe or even fatal COVID-19 course. I mean, the point being there is that why are they getting vaccinated? Right? This is risking them in a lot of more serious ways, and they're not even remotely at risk from COVID-19, but let's add the risk from the vaccine because of something they're not at risk from. This is ridiculous. It says, in addition to experts from the Paul Ulrich Institute, other experts in thrombosis and hematology and an adenovirus specialist were consulted with the details of the reported cases. All experts agreed unanimously that a pattern could be discerned here and that a connection between the reported above-mentioned diseases and the vaccination with COVID-19 vaccine, AstraZeneca, was not implausible. And that's why we're seeing those reports, because they can't ignore something like that. But they're going to. It's unbelievable. But here's Alex Bernson pointing out from a UK reader, clearly applicable to the US too. And this is in regard to the VAERS system. So people are having these problems and they're reporting them, right? We're supposed to think that they're going to be watching these and investigating them, right? No, it isn't just that VAERS is complicated or that many people are unaware of it. That's also a huge part of it. Relentless media pressure is driving incredible cognitive dissonance about the vaccines, as it did the other way with COVID risks. And they're pointing out, as they're saying, hey, I wanted to raise your awareness to this total inadequacy of this MHRA, and that's in regard to UK, yellow card reporting system for vaccine adverse effects. They have absolutely no intention of gathering an accurate picture of the frequency of side effects or effects with these vaccines. It's a system that's rigged to provide an illusion of safety rather than an accurate picture. I think we're dealing with negative effects being an old order of magnitude, two greater than is reported here. Now, that's actually wildly short, as the many have pointed out, including JFK or RFK Jr., 1%. This has been confirmed in the past with VAERS, before the COVID-19 propaganda. VAERS, you get about 1% of the total reported effects. That's been roundly stated before this. So just think about that for a second. If you're getting 500 to 900 times more than what we get from the flu vaccine, and we're giving out far more of them, which you could argue would increase it, but not to the effects we're seeing, not 500 to 900 times. And that's only 1%. The system itself, let me just go through them. This one seems more subjective. It's verified by my personal experience too. The article from is consultantly largely describes the problem. 5'7" young, healthy people I know have gotten quite sick on the first shot of either Pfizer or AstraZeneca so far, sicker than I've known anybody to be ever with any other vaccine. My brother, 39, fit and healthy, was bedbound for 2 days and vomited an hour after hour with his first shot of AstraZeneca. He was ill enough that his wife reached out to my parents 3 times in the middle of the night because she was so frightened for him. He still hasn't yellow carded it. So he hasn't even called it in. I'm a biology graduate and my wife is a nurse with a first class honors degree. Both my wife and I have asked him to report it. I have expressly asked him to skip the second dose. He's still insistent on continuing and pretending it's all fine because the media has completely blinded him to this. In his mind, COVID is still an airborne Ebola and vaccines are absolutely the answer. I'm really pissed off because he's not even given, I mean, this is the point, guys. This is like that woman I told you that almost went home with her side effects because she was afraid to be a vaccine conspiracy theorist. And she would have died if she hadn't stayed with anaphylactic shock. This is a person that is alarmingly sick. Even his family is scared and he won't call it in because he's afraid to make it look like he's been convinced that he shouldn't call it in because that'll create vaccine hesitancy. This is exactly what we're talking about with something like this. I would love to die from a cold. I mean, this is crazy. This is brainwashing, guys. It is literal brainwashing. God, honestly, we are in serious trouble with the vaccines. I think if there's anything I learned in biology, it's that there's never a free lunch. Side effects or negative effects like this will not equal a free lunch. We should offer them to the old and vulnerable who have a measurable. By the way, that's the worst thing we should do, in my opinion, because if they're hurting regular people, they're going to really hurt elderly people. It says the rest makes no sense at all. We've got various Muppets banging on the drum for vaccine passports over here, too. Yeah, but the point is that there's a lot of the idea of the main one here where they're choosing not to report the dangerous things that are happening to them. Spain, Cyprus, Italy, France to resume the use of AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. Oh, and by the way, here's again, anecdotal. When he is saying not to dismiss, but the point is that's exactly what they expect. Well, we can't prove it. Exactly. And that's why it goes that way. But they're resuming this as of March 19th, which is technically right now because other side of the world. But this is unbelievable that we have these groups proving this in the face of an unknown link to something that's very alarming. And then telling people they all have to get this despite being in no risk if you're most of the ages that we can be. It's if you're existing in one of these governments, under one of these governments, this cannot be acceptable. There's everything you have to show you right here that they are overlooking your safety concerns in the interest of vaccine. That cannot be allowed. Here is what we're talking about. Platelets and a blood disorder. Mrs. Legaspi, right? In the photo taken by her daughter that shows bruising and bleeding under the skin caused by a lack of platelets after the COVID injection. Doctors ordered Miss Legaspi to not even get out of bed without help for fear that if she fell and injured herself, she could hemorrhage. They began giving her platelet transfusions along with steroids and immune globulins meant to stop her immune system's war on her platelets. This is, I don't know, whatever one, I mean, I don't know, I'm not exactly the best on which is which and how they work. They all seem sort of similar to me, but these are all the things we've been talking about with the experts that we've interviewed. The antibody dependent enhancement, the molecular mimicry, right? The pathogenic priming. It's all ways that your body essentially begins to turn on itself because of this foreign, the genetically modified experimental injection. Nothing works. Her platelets would rise a bit and then crash again between treatments. As the days passed with no progress, Mrs. Legaspi's daughter, aware of Dr. Michael's death, worried increasingly that her mother would suffer a brain hemorrhage. She's like a ticking bomb. This is horrifying. This was 2 days ago, or yesterday, actually. I don't know whether or not anything, that's the last I've seen of it. See if there's any follow-up. Doesn't look like it as of yet, but why is this acceptable, guys? Why is it acceptable? Here's even the New York Times. A few COVID vaccine recipients developed a rare blood disorder, right? So we're admitting that this is something that's been happening, even in the mainstream. And that's okay, apparently. Because vaccine good, no matter what. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you could think whatever you want, guys. The fact that we are now already discussing, as we already have been for a while, forcing or coercing anybody out there, healthy or otherwise, into getting this thing, that is what is so alarming to me. If they were saying, you know, get it if you want to, then I wouldn't even be doing this right now. I mean, I'd be talking about plenty of other things around what they're trying to do, but not about this specific topic. Because if you're not being forced or even, you know, potentially being coerced, I would be probably informing you on what looks like the dangers, but not in the way that it's like this end of like this cat. This is a wildly time sensitive, alarming topic to me, because we are ticking day after day towards a world that will force you into these things. And the next one, by the way, the next biosecurity state, the next pandemic that they say rolls out. Now, on that note, let's get into what Rand Paul had to say to Dr. Fauci. Doing an excellent job of calling out the manipulation, the theater, which is what it was. He says, so rather than being pessimistic towards people gaining immunity after they've had COVID, which we know is happening, as even the NIH reported. The NIH has now stated on their website. I mean, let's see if I can actually pop them up. I forget if those will be saved. Yep, there it is. Sure enough, the first one. This is the NIH as of January 26th. Lasting immunity found after recovery from COVID-19. All right. I mean, how crazy is that? Might as well grab this one if it pops up. Of course not. The one that was experimental. Oh, there it is. Look at that. So here, there were two of them actually. Perfect. One second. Nice. There it is. I just, since I had it right there, I want to show you guys again, for those who didn't see it on the last show, that on July 21st, here's the NIH calling the COVID-19 vaccine experimental coronavirus vaccine is safe way before we could possibly know that. But sure, scream it, guys. But here it is as of January 12th, 2021. Experimental coronavirus vaccine. It's the mRNA-1273, which is the same Moderna one we've been talking about. So how is it possible that even Fauci can be sidestepping the discussion and everybody else is screaming, it's not experimental, as the NIH states it on their website? It's because people are completely brainwashed. But back to the point, lasting immunity after COVID-19, right? But they don't want you to think that. As he says, or had a vaccine, and studies argue for significant optimism, just like the NIH is posting there. In fact, there have been no scientific studies arguing or proving that infection with COVID does not create immunity. It says, if we're not spreading the infection, isn't it just theater? You have the vaccine and you're wearing two masks. Isn't that theater? Yes, it is theater. But the point here is that there is a whole effort, a long state. I mean, this is well before COVID-19. To misrepresent the entire concern, just however it gets you the most fearful. That's the same thing to do with terrorism and all of U.S. foreign policy. But before I even play this next clip, I also want to caution that Rand Paul is part of this to me. No matter how well, you know, same with some people like a Tucker Carlson, anybody else that seems to state things that we agree with or fight for, you know, point out things that seem to go against the narrative, but they're all still part of the elitist circles. Right. So we shouldn't, just because he's pointing these things out doesn't mean we shouldn't question whether he's part of this. Same with, I pointed out about Ron DeSantis today, pointing out that here, the elitists, we shouldn't trust them. And I said, yes, as well as you, my friend, because you are also an elitist. They're all part of this. But my point in saying this is that while he discusses this, there's plenty of things that he says that seem to, in a backward way, sell you other inconsistencies as fact, such as the fact that they haven't had any deaths after the vaccines, which is not true. I mean, it's simply not true. We've actually proven at least a few of them, and they're saying, nope, not possible. Even Rand Paul, understand. Well, no, he didn't say not possible. He's saying that that's the case. And I just find that to be disingenuous, but focus on the first part, and I'll point that out as we go along. This is important because he straight up calls him out in a way that everybody should be doing.
Dr. Fauci, in a recent British study, David Wiley and others found that no symptomatic reinfections from COVID-19 after following 2,800 patients for several months. In fact, there have been no reports of significant numbers of reinfections after acquiring COVID-19 naturally. Shane Crotty, a virologist at La Jolla Institute for Immunology, concludes from his experiments that The amount of immune memory gained from natural infection would likely prevent the vast majority of people from getting hospitalized disease, severe disease for many years. In this study, which was published in Science, Dr. Crotty showed that antibody levels stayed relatively constant with only modest declines over 6 to 8 months. Dr. Crotty reported that, notably, memory B cells specific for the spike protein, or RBD, were detected in almost all COVID-19 cases with no apparent half-life at 5 to 8 months after infection. In other words, Dr. Crotty found significant evidence of long-term immunity after COVID infection. Furthermore, Dr. Crotty noted B-cell memory to some other infections has been observed for as long as 60-plus years after smallpox vaccination, or even 90 years after natural infection with influenza.
So I find it odd that, like, so this argument, or rather the statement that Fauci is sort of disagreeing with, doesn't it, this fundamentally contradicts what I just showed you? Right. I mean, if they can tell you on their own website in January that this is the case, what is this even a real argument? I mean, that's sort of confusing, wouldn't you say?
A woman who got the Spanish flu still showed immunity 90 years later.
That's actually the Kansas flu, as we know now, as a fact, as stated. It's on Wikipedia. You can look it up yourself. It started in Kansas. We call it the Spanish flu because Spain was the first one to talk about it. The history has shown quite clearly it started in the United States. It was spread by the U.S. military and General Pershing and their disregard for the concern. It's very easy to look up, but we still say Spanish flu. Isn't that funny?
So rather than being pessimistic towards people gaining immunity after they've had COVID or had a vaccine, studies argue for significant optimism. In fact, there have been no scientific studies arguing or proving that infection with COVID does not create immunity. There have been no studies showing significant numbers of reinfections. Of the 30 million Americans who have had COVID, only a handful of reinfections have been discovered.
Now, that is a really important point, right? This whole idea that we can get it again has been something they stated from the very beginning with nothing to back it up. And that's one of the points that Rand Paul really digs into here, is that they're using their own opinions and conjecture to push policy while screaming about the science. How stupid is that? So in the beginning, how would they possibly know? Well, we don't know for sure. You can't catch it again. That's not science. That's fear-mongering that leads in the direction of what you want to accomplish.
In fact, the New York Times reported last fall more than 38 million people at the time worldwide had been infected with the coronavirus, and as of that date, fewer than 5 of these cases had been confirmed by scientists to be reinfections. Scientists interviewed for the article concluded, in most cases, a second bout with the virus produced milder symptoms or none at all. Given that no scientific studies have shown significant numbers of reinfections of patients previously infected or previously vaccinated, what specific studies do you cite to argue that the public should be wearing masks well into 2022?
Now, think about what he just asked right there before he even answers, right? He's like, I have 2 studies that show that this is the case. Doesn't mean that's the fact, but here they are. What are you using to cite your opinion that this is the case, that they can get it again, or they shouldn't be, or that they should be wearing masks after they show that they have immunity, right? Just remember, that's the question. What are your studies to verify your opinion? Here are the ones I'm showing that were back up mine.
I'm not sure I understand the connection of what you're saying about masks and reinfection. We're talking about people who have never been infected before.
You're telling everybody to wear a mask, whether they've had an infection or a vaccine. What I'm saying is they have immunity and everybody agrees they have immunity. What studies do you have that people that have had the vaccine or have had the infection are spreading the infection? If we're not spreading the infection, isn't it just theater?
No, it's not.
The vaccine and you're wearing 2 masks. Isn't that theater?
No, that's not. Here we go again with the theater. Let's get down to the facts. Okay, the studies that you quote from Crotty and set.
Okay. So his first inclination is to attack his sources. Are you surprised by that at all? This is exactly what we see online. This is exactly what we see everywhere. This is what dishonest people do. This is what liars do. If you are backing up, if you have the science, that's what you would show. Here is the facts. Here are the scientific studies that we did that show this is the case. No, he immediately goes after his sources and say, this is what's wrong with that. And here's what's wrong with that one. And that's his arts. That's the answer.
to look at in vitro examination of memory immunity, which in their paper they specifically say this does not necessarily pertain to the actual protection. It's in vitro.
And what study can you point to that shows significant reinfection? There are no studies that show
Let me finish the response to your question, if you please. The other thing is that when you talk about reinfection and you don't keep in...
So still not pointing out anything that he can back up his claims with. Still attacking him and what he does and his process and what he looks at and how he does it. I mean, this is an ad hominem attack. This is not, this is a straw man. That's the basic concept. You're going after something that undermines the person that has nothing to do with the argument he just made.
The concept of variance, that's an entirely different ball game. That's a good reason for a mask in the South African.
So because of the possibility that these things that we have no science to suggest are actually more dangerous, which he'll say after he'll say in a second, because of the possibility that these variants may one day, possibly now, maybe tomorrow, be something made more dangerous that we'll have them wear masks forever. So the point is you'll wear a mask forever because there may always be something that comes up tomorrow. That's not science.
Study conducted by J&J, they found that people who were infected with wild type and were exposed to the...
Does he mean Johnson & Johnson? Yeah, let's go ahead and cite. The only thing he cites is a vaccine manufacturer's personal study. Go ahead, let's go ahead and cite Monsanto about themselves. Good call, Fauci. Really smart.
For a mask, in the South African study conducted by J&J, they found that people who were infected with wild type and were exposed to the variant in South Africa, the 351, it was as if they had never been infected before. They had no protection. So when you talk about reinfection...
So this is something that they kind of don't want you to think about while taking the vaccine, right? So in his effort to argue why his statement is right, he's undermining the other argument. Again, this is what happens when you lie about everything. You can't turn without stepping on a previous lie. So the point is, but then when he comes around the other side, he goes, no, but you should get the vaccine now anyway. Even though I just stated that basically this made me have no effect on any of the new things that are coming out. Now, that's not my argument. I disagree with that. But what he is saying undermines his own argument from before. This is ridiculous. It's all just, why not? Just in case. That's what all this comes down to. So we don't know if they're more dangerous. We don't know if it undermines it. And if you're saying that the variants make this new one ineffective, why are we taking that one at all? I mean, on top of the fact that what we're saying is most of the people that they're claiming already have this thing, which again, may not even be there, have immunity according to the NIH's own documentation. How does any of this make sense?
You've got to make sure you're talking about wild type. I agree with you that you...
Oh, and one more as well. The wild type, remember, this sounds a lot like the idea of pathogenic priming, right? So you're getting the vaccine, you're going out in the wild and introducing yourself to the wild thing, and it's creating a worse, more severe reaction than whatever it may... the whole variant discussion in this regard may be a simple way of covering up exactly that problem. By saying, oh, well, it was the variant and that caused more severe reaction. Or it could be exactly what people like RFK Jr. or James Lyon Weiler, PhD, pointed out, that this is a possibility. That the idea is that once you introduce or come in contact with the wild virus, after getting the vaccine for that same virus, it could have your body begins attacking itself. And it's exponentially worse than what it would have been before. They've already known this. Fauci himself figured this out with dengue fever. They figured this out with previous coronavirus vaccines they tested, in these cases, killing people. Here we are today. Just take it anyway, though, for your safety.
Very likely would have protection from wild type for at least 6 months if you're infected. But we in our country now have variants that are circulating.
Significant reinfection. What study?
Again, just recognize, again, that's why he's doing this. He has still not answered the question. Not even close. This whole time was about discrediting what Rand Paul is saying without actually answering what studies he's used to back up what he's saying.
If you're infected, but we in our country now have variants that are circulating.
Significant reinfection. What study shows significant reinfection, hospitalization, and death after either natural infection or the vaccine? It doesn't exist. There is no evidence that there are significant reinfections after vaccine. In fact, I don't think we have a hospitalization in the United States after the 2 week period after the second vaccination.
And that's what I'm saying. I fundamentally disagree with that. And in fact, I think the evidence plainly shows that's not true. On top of the fact that reinfection after getting vaccinated, I've seen examples in Israel that challenge that. But in any case, he's just going off of the official statistics, which is what anybody in these circles does, which is why I point out that they're part of that problem. But in any case, he's challenging a very important part of this.
Yeah, you have a death in the United States.
You're not hearing what I'm saying about variants. We're talking about wild type versus variants.
And what proof is there that there are significant reinfections with hospitalizations and death from the variants? None in our country.
Exactly.
Zero.
Well, because we don't have a prevalent of a variant yet. We're having.
Okay, so it's irrelevant. It hasn't been done, so we don't know. There's no science to back it up. It's your opinion. Why can't they just state that? Well, we know why. Because then it would suddenly be a problem for them. That's what Rand Paul has artfully pointed this out. That they are making, this is conjecture. They're using their opinion to sell you on policy that they think is right. Or assuming, or maybe it's because they know it will make more problems. I mean, the assumption these people are doing what's best for you is quite childish.
Can I finish? We're having 117 that's becoming more dominant.
Policy based on conjecture.
No,
it isn't based on conjecture. Variants, so you want people to wear a mask for another couple years.
No.
You've been vaccinated and you parade around in two masks for show.
No.
You can't get it again. There's virtually 0% chance you're going to get it. And yet you're telling people that have had the vaccine, who have immunity, you're defying everything we know about immunity by telling people to wear a mask who've been vaccinated. No. Instead, you should be saying there is no science to say we're going to have a problem from the large number of people being vaccinated. You want to get rid of vaccine hesitancy? Tell them they can quit wearing their mask after they get the vaccine. You want people to get the vaccine? Give them a reward instead of telling them that the nanny state's going to be there for 3 more years and you got to wear a mask forever. People don't.
It's the same thing with reward. You know, this is a problem because his argument's correct, but then what he's counterbalancing it with is, well, just give them a vaccine passport instead, give them a reward, right? They don't have the right to take these things away. They don't have the right to reward you for taking their whatever they're handing down. So you see, it's a problem there, but it's still worth pointing out that the holes he's pointing out in the narrative.
I want to hear it. There's no science behind it.
Well, let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Masks are protective. And we
have immunity there, theater. If you already have immunity, you're wearing a mask to give comfort to others. You're not wearing a mask because of any sign.
I totally disagree with you.
Well, that's fine. I just disagree, though. he ripped you apart, Fauci. You can disagree all you want. If you're unable to cite the science, what do you disagree about? Right? He's caught. I mean, it's so blatant how these people are lying to you. I argue all of them for the most part, but again, not more than just even the mat or the issue of whether you should be wearing it. Remember that we're talking about, on top of that, the dangers of them, right? That's important because it's not just that if you're making people wear them for just in case safety, that's not acceptable because you're putting people's lives at risk with this by itself. I'm talking about people that are forced to wear it all day, every day. People that are wearing this during the winter when it's foggy and there's moisture buildup. All the science, the actual random controlled trials around all the masks, including cloth, have made it very clear. There is not a statistically significant reduction in transmission. On top of that, it is causing health problems. And there's been multiple NIH studies that have come to the exact same conclusion that it has a recognizable, verifiable reduction in blood oxygen level, that it causes hypoxia, hypercapnia, that it can lead to things like systemic inflammation, periodontal disease, bacterial pneumonia. And I've included these links so you can read them for yourselves. This is a compilation. So it's about an hour long with a bunch of different things. If you're doubting the science, watch this video. Oh, actually, no, this is the incorrect one. But in any case, this is the one that's more important. Do masks cause bacterial pneumonia? The answer is yes. They can, 100%. Is it happening? Well, you can do the research for yourself. Is it possible? Yes. And anyone telling you otherwise is blatantly lying to you because it's that easy to know and easy to look up. The facts are unequivocal. Well done. But I mean, I might as well just play this since we're looking at it again. So this is what's crazy is this is the COVID-19 vaccine consent form, and they're just absolutely censoring it.
COVID-19 vaccine consent form, ANOVA. Here's the part. Understand that the COVID-19 vaccine is a two-part vaccine series. By signing this consent, I'm agreeing that I or my child will receive the first and second part of the vaccine series. I understand that the common risks associated with the COVID-19 vaccine include, but are not limited to, pain, redness or swelling of the site of injection, tiredness, headache, muscle pain, chills, joint pain, fever, nausea, feeling unwell, or swollen lymph nodes. I understand that the vaccine may cause a severe allergic reaction, which can include anaphylaxis, difficulty breathing, swelling of the face and throat, a fast heartbeat, a rash all over the body, dizziness, and or weakness. I understand that these may not be all the side effects of the COVID-19 vaccine, as the vaccine is still being studied in clinical trials. I also understand that it is not possible to predict all possible side effects or complications which could be associated with the vaccine. I understand that the long-term side effects or complications of this vaccine are not known at this time.
I'm just getting frustrated here as I'm looking. It doesn't look like it looks like we're not live on Rockfin. Very frustrating. Always something going on here, guys. I don't think there's no manipulation here. I'm thinking there's just a glitch on their page or something, but that's quite frustrating. Well, going forward, they're going to take this out on you. This is the plan, right? This is, despite all the evidence, despite everything we've already seen, they're tripling down to take out the coronavirus. Isn't it funny how they keep calling it the coronavirus, despite the fact that there's more than one and that they're clearly just trying, it's the one. How would they know it's the one, right? Because they want it to be. Go medieval on it. Quarantines and restrictive measures served a purpose in the old days. Well, guess what? They can now too. Not for the elitists though, but for you. So lockdown again, control your life. We're going to go medieval on you. Right? Because if you're going to go medieval on the coronavirus, that means on your life, because your body is the battlefield. It only exists in your lives. So they're going to go medieval on your lives. But it's for your safety, though, guys. As long as they say for your safety, they can do whatever they want. They can steal your job. They can destroy your life. They can starve your family. But it's for your safety, though. Well, then it's okay. I mean, this is where it's all going. I mean, here's MIT technology as of March 17th. We are not going back to normal, right? You see that? They keep telling you social distancing is here to stay for much more than a few weeks. It will upend our life in some ways forever. So now we're supposed to social distance, which is not social at all. It's in fact, that's social engineering is what that is. That's very Orwellian. That came from your government. Why would they call it social distancing? Why do they choose that? The point is that they are going to keep you separated from your family members, wearing a mask and only, you know, checking in with the government. Can I hug my family today? Oh, good. We're on a low COVID day. Oh, great. I'll get to hug my family today through that plastic. Awesome. This is your future. And they keep telling you, if you're just willing to pay attention, it's not going away. We need to radically change almost everything we do. What does that sound like? Oh yeah, that's right. The Great Reset. But that's just coincidence though. How we work, exercise, socialize, shop, manage our health, educate our kids. Did we vote on that? Oh, that's right. Voting doesn't even happen anymore. Cool. Good times. Biden administration eyes mid-May to begin relaxing COVID travel restrictions. Why mid-May? Right? What's the new information, Biden? What did you get that just now suggested that by May it might be changing? Nothing at all. There's no evidence. There's no science. It's just giving you something to look at. Oh, May? Okay, we're almost there. Remember 15 days to flatten the curve? Remember how many times they've given you a mark that they just jump right past? This is meaningless. If he's saying mid-May, the first response from any actual journalist should be, okay, why? Why is it May? What is it that gives you the impression that May will be over? You can't just cite some arbitrary, you're making it up. We need to be able to see that by now. There's nothing that suggests that May is any different than next year or 2022 or all the numbers they keep throwing out in addition to that. As the defender points out, Pfizer's COVID vaccine could become the most lucrative drug in the world. But let's pretend like that's not playing a factor on their decision-making process. Of course not. And as they test for all of this, recognize there's continually things like this happening. Texas woman leaked spinal fluid immediately after the COVID nasal swab. right? Because that's totally natural for something that you can get by swabbing the inside of your nose. Yeah, nothing weird going on there because you're a conspiracy theorist, right? Well, Walmart becomes the largest U.S. vaccine provider, which is really gross. We're talking about somebody giving vaccines to you that has no capacity to do anything for you should you have one of the very common, very alarming side effects, right? Like, so people are having strokes or anaphylactic shock within minutes. But yeah, let's give people vaccines at the bar or the Walmart or the Waffle House, all of which are very real and up. And I've shown you on this show. They're all happening. So yeah, let's incentivize them to be drunk while they're getting a vaccine that could potentially cause a severe reaction. Do this seem in any way like they care about your safety? Does Walmart have a hospital and an ICU? Of course, they're joining the push for digital vaccine credentials. You know, that fake news story that's never going to happen. It's all coming your way. And to finish on the lockdown discussion, lockdown killed 228,000 children in South Asia, says a UN report. The United Nations report has laid bare appalling cost of lockdowns in some of the world's poorest countries. The report, direct and indirect effects of COVID-19 pandemic in response in South Asia, which I'm going to be probably following up on, examines the effect of the unprecedented government shutdown policies on healthcare, social services, education, and the economy. It estimates that the disruption in healthcare services caused by the government response to COVID-19 in Afghanistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, home to some 1.8 billion people, might have led to 239,000 maternal and child deaths. Not certain, but certainly possible. And the evidence does suggest this. If you look at this everywhere else in the world, we're seeing the same thing. It compares to, guess what? Around 186,000 deaths with COVID. That's not even dying necessarily from it. And then that could also be false. False positives with the PCR test combining pneumonia and flu and the numbers they tell you and they're saying that they died from COVID even though they died from pneumonia. The point is that that's not even necessarily the right number. It could be far less than that. In any case, it's quite a bit less than what they're saying could have been killed. That could have been killed because of the lockdown. Furthermore, 228,000 is the estimated lockdown death toll just of children under five, almost none of whom would have been at any risk from COVID-19. But let's all do it for your safety though, right guys? Right? Let's go ahead and continue to lock down based on a variant that we don't know is dangerous because we're okay with 50%, 100% increase in suicide between teens, or we're okay with everybody losing their entire livelihood and being dependent on the government again because of something that we are unsure might be dangerous. Just for your safety though. Right? I mean, think about this, guys. Ask yourself why anybody, anywhere, for the rest of their lives would choose to start another business, would choose to spend the time and the effort to put the work in and create a brand and a business and sell things if tomorrow the government can say, oh, variant, we're shutting down. You think they don't know that? Why would anybody ever again start their own business? Because they know the government could pull the plug based on not even actual danger. Based on the possibility that they tell you the possibility of danger. So the point is, going forward, we are going to see an exponential decrease in small businesses. And what will that lead to? Corporate gobbling up everything else. So as we drive aggressively toward the world they're building, they're Xing off all the possibility for you to have input on how that works. It's only going to be corporate interests and you taking what you're given. But it's all for your safety, though. Just keep saying that. Sad day, but starting off in a new direction, right? This is a positive thing, right? Obviously, it's too bad that we will no longer be able to reach the people that are lost on YouTube. But as right now, I'm giving my full express permission to anybody, anywhere on the internet to repost this video, anywhere, all of them, all the time. You can post these 100,000 times on YouTube for all I care. No need to even give me credit. You post it wherever the hell you want and you get the content out there. That's all that matters. So the point is, we'll continue to do this just like I told you we would. Nonstop, as often as possible. And we will continue to spread the truth and back it up with source material, which is exactly what they censor you for these days. It's funny. But thank you for being here. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.